The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Stephen A., it's not just a football Friday, it's also a feel-good Friday. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take. Thank you for spending part of your day here with us. Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman, I'm Molly Karam-Rose. And, fellas, I'm really pumped for this weekend. We've got four divisional games, and obviously the main event, Max, you know what it is, Brady Breeze. We'll get to those in just a minute. But first, fellas, I want to get your reaction to some news in the NFL. So let's start there, if you're cool with that. The New York Jets have reached an agreement in principle with San Francisco 49ers defensive coordinator Robert Saleh to be their next head coach. The deal is for 5 years. Saleh, who is a Lebanese American, will become the first Muslim head coach, mashallah, shout out to Dearborn, and the fourth minority head coach currently in the NFL. Meanwhile, Urban Meyer will head back to the state of Florida, but this time to coach the pros. He is the new head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Stephen A., I like both these hires, so this is a tough one for you, but which one do you think is the better hire?
Oh, easily Urban Meyer. I mean, Saleh had the 17th-ranked defense this year. It wasn't his fault, some injuries, and they were great against the run in the pass, just 17th in points allowed. But the bottom line is I get the fact that he could be inspirational. This is New York City. We'll see what he does. There's no question about Urban Meyer. There's no question about the greatness of Urban Meyer. Long before we knew who the hell Urban Meyer was, let's understand why he succeeded at the University of Florida. The man went 22-2 in 2 years at Utah, 10-2 the first year, 12-0 the second year, and a Fiesta Bowl win when I think he co-coached with Kyle Whittingham at that for the Fiesta Bowl because he was en route to Florida. And we know what he did at Florida, national championship. We know what he did at Ohio State, two national championships. We know that at Utah he won 91% of his games, and at Ohio State he won 90% of his games. This brother is elite. Wherever Urban Meyer goes, it's an upward move. The man is just brilliant at coaching the game of football, whether it's literally being a man amongst boys, you know, being that father figure, knowing his X's and O's, knowing how to inspire, to motivate, to maximize the potential around you. He's proven it on the collegiate level. Is the NFL different? Absolutely, it's different for most coaches, but the elite ones, it doesn't appear to matter in some cases. I think this is one of those cases. He's not just going to Jacksonville, but he's going to bring Trevor Lawrence with him, so they'll finally have a quarterback that they can rely upon and build around. And obviously, you don't have Tom Coughlin hovering over this organization, getting in the way with his drill sergeant tendencies that serve to alienate stars like Jalen Ramsey, Calais Campbell, and others. No, this is a situation where Urban Meyer and his impeccable resume speaks for itself, and I think that's a huge, huge deal, particularly in Jacksonville. Remember, Max, it doesn't matter the market in the National Football League. They've successfully gone about the business of accomplishing parity throughout. Small market teams, big market teams, it don't matter with a hard salary cap league or whatever the case may be. Bottom line is, when it comes to football, none of that is relevant in the National Football League. It's about your ability to coach and having the personnel around you. I believe in Urban Meyer, and I believe this is obviously the right job for him, particularly since he succeeded so much in Gainesville, and now Jacksonville is obviously not that far away. This is why he went back there. I think it's a great move.
Saleh is the better hire, and they're both good hires. Both teams did well here, but Saleh is the better hire for the Jets. And by the way, when the Giants were looking for coaching candidates, and, you know, Giants fans like me were hoping maybe they get to talk to him, maybe they hire him. Stephen A., there is something about a guy when you hear, first of all, he takes over a team with the defense ranked dead last in the NFL, the worst defense in the NFL. And within two seasons, they're a top five defense, like consistently, season over season, they're a top five defense. And then this year, okay, they're middle of the pack defense. They had a lot of injuries. It was a bizarre year with COVID and everything. Still a middle of the pack defense. There's something about that defensive guy, that D coordinator, who gets those kind of results and who sits in the meeting and wows everyone there, right? You and I always bring it up, Tomlin. What, Tomlin got the job? Then you hear him talking, okay, I get it. Well, he wowed us in the meeting. Yeah, no kidding. He gave you that sense. obviously. And Salah is one of those guys, according to everyone, including, as has been widely reported at this point, Richard Sherman, who says, yeah, they got a good one. You know, players who he has coached by reputation, what you're hearing about the impression he makes and the results as a coach. Stephen A., all in the NFL. In the NFL, not in college. Now, I know the Jags are in a really good position. Urban Meyer inherits a good situation because while you can't really recruit in the NFL, that's a big part of coaching in college. He is sort of, you know, in a way recruiting because they're going to use the pick on the best quarterback in the draft, on Trevor Lawrence, and that gives him an advantage. And it's been widely reported, or at least Adam Schefter's reported, they have $100 million in cap space. But guess what? The Jets have the second pick in the draft, and they have another first-round pick. They also have a lot of draft capital, and they have like $70 million in cap space. Mm-hmm. So they both inherit good situations. And while they're both mm-hmm. good hires, after everything I just said about Salah, you have to like start to parse things and see where there's a little difference. Stephen A., Urban Meyer's managerial skills in terms of his staff and like that was a controversy with Zach Smith that had him leave his last job, right? Well, that's a lot of being an NFL head coach.
That's not fair.
It is.
That wasn't about football. That was about some other things. You know,
we have to get into that. That's part of it.
You know, I mean, that could happen to anybody, Max.
I'll say this: Urban Meyer has twice left jobs when it got tough. And by the way, they were going in the wrong direction. Ohio State, like when you look at how many bad losses they had, it's not that there were a lot of them, but the losses, like, wow, they lost that game. Their issues in the running game, that all happened in Urban Meyer's last season. Now, he was dealing with a lot, I understand, but that's the fact of the matter. And what you've seen is he takes off. So the Jags have a guy where they have to wonder, when the going gets tough, is he going to take off? Meantime, the Jets got a guy who's a rising star among coordinators, who everyone seems to think they got lucky to get, and who has NFL experience succeeding.
We'll see. We'll see. First of all, I want to say this. He's of Lebanese descent. That's my understanding. And they're saying that maybe he's the first Muslim Arab American, obviously, to be an NFL head coach. So from a diversity perspective, we should all be happy and very happy for him. I like the guy personally. Got a defensive background. First year defensively, 25th. Second year ranked 28th. Then they catapulted to 8th, went to the Super Bowl. And then last year they fell off a little bit because of COVID. There's no question he deserves the job, and I'm happy for him. I'm just thinking that, what about Sam Darnold? You brought in a defensive guy. Hopefully that'll help Sam Darnold. We'll find out.
We'll see. They both look pretty solid to me, but you guys are the opinion makers here. Let's keep it rolling because we got a big one this weekend, and I cannot wait for that. The best game of the weekend, fellas, in my humble opinion, Brady Breeze, Bucks Saints. Drew is 5-2 versus Tom all time. New Orleans, a 3-point favorite. Max Kellerman, I love hearing you talk about Tom Brady, so I'd like to come to you first. Do you believe that he will pull off this upset in New Orleans?
I don't, and I do think it would be an upset, not just according to the odds makers. I expect the Saints to win. The Bucs are peaking at the right time. There's no question. They look like they're firing on all cylinders. But let's keep in mind, I know it's hard to imagine. People think, well, can you imagine Tom Brady being beaten three times by a team in his own division who he knows he has to beat? Boy, that's hard to imagine. But in fact, what history bears out is if one team beats another twice in the regular season, they're going to do it again in the playoffs. Because the fact is, as hard as it is to imagine that, you're going to lose three times, the fact that they lost twice to that team indicates they're not quite as good, or at least the matchup isn't good for them. First of all, Saints had a better record. Saints were the better team. And that was dealing with a catastrophic injury to Drew Brees. That was dealing with Michael Thomas not often available. Emmanuel Sanders not available at times. But now Drew Brees comes in with his full complement of weapons. And what was the issue in terms of the styles matchup for Brady and the Bucks with the Saints? It's that they have a front four that can get pressure on the quarterback. And Tom Brady, no quarterback likes pressure, but especially not Tom Brady, when you don't have to blitz, when you can just bring four. And they can do it. The Saints can do it. They can get pressure on Tom Brady with their front four. That's bad for Brady. And yes, Drew Brees has been less than great in the playoffs recently, but a lot of that seems to be that the attrition got to him. He's not a big, strong guy like Brady or these quarterbacks. He's a smaller guy. Like, you can imagine the accumulation of punishment catching up but maybe that was a silver lining in the injury. He didn't have to play football all those weeks. I expect to see a better rested, fresher Drew Brees now in these playoffs than we have in seasons past. And Stephen A., I expect Brees with his full complement of weapons and that defense that is twice so far pressured Tom Brady to do it again and win the game.
Max Kellerman, I don't disagree with anything that you're saying from a football standpoint. I have no argument to make other than this. I just have a feeling. You go down 24-7 before losing 34-23 in New Orleans in the season opener. We all know that, and New Orleans ran away with that game. The second time they go to Camp Tampa and they just blitzed them on Sunday night. They were up 38-0 before the final score was 38-3. Tom Brady didn't have a good game in either scenario. You had Antonio Brown the second game around. It didn't matter. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin couldn't do but so much. Gronkowski couldn't do but so much. I just find it very, very hard to stomach, to believe, as much as I love my man Drew Brees, I find it very hard to believe that after getting blitzed on two occasions against this same team, that you go there and for a third time you get ramrodded too. This is Tom Brady that we're talking about here. I just find it unfathomable that there are no adjustments, that there's nothing learned from those annihilations that took place by the hands of the New Orleans Saints. I just find it almost impossible to believe that as good as the Saints are, as better as they have been, and even though anybody and their mother would be justified in picking the Saints for this game, I just find this to be one of those games, Mac, that's set up for Brady and the crew to find a way to escape. I certainly expect the game to be close no matter what. I really, really do. I do not expect a blowout this time around. But it would not surprise me at all because of the manner in which the Saints have so manhandled the Bucs in the two occasions that a third time is not a charm. That somehow, some way, that 43-year-old Mr. Geriatric himself summons up something and Antonio Brown joins the fray. And he's become more of a priority for Tom Brady as the season has progressed, which you pointed out over a week ago. Obviously, with the additional weapons in Evans and Godwin, Godwin's got to stop dropping passes. We get it. Excuse me. It can't just be Leonard Fournette out there running. Hopefully Ronald Jones the second will be back. I'm just saying, I find it very difficult to believe that for the third go round, you get shellacked by the same team in the same season when you are led by Tom Brady. I find that very difficult to stomach. I can't see it.
I don't see a shellacking either.
I'm going with the Bucs.
But I see a Saints. I'm going with the Saints, and I don't see a shellacking either. First of all, the Saints are at home, right? And I want to
Does that mean anything this season?
I want to answer two of the points that
right.
A little bit. It means a little. Okay. I mean, they beat them at home worse than they beat them on the road, right? So far, and they beat them twice. I want to answer two of the points you brought up. I think they're good ones. First, I think Antonio Brown's a very good point. Antonio Brown. If he's had enough time now to be Antonio Brown again, I think people are all sleeping on what that means. Antonio Brown is way better than Evans or Godwin if he's Antonio Brown. And those are excellent players, right? Right, they're excellent players, and they're not close to Antonio Brown if Brown is healthy. Antonio Brown is arguably one of the five best receivers who ever lived, and he's in his prime right now. Physically, he should be. So if he's truly healthy and you see him trending in that direction and rather integrated into the team and is back to being Antonio Brown, that is a huge weapon, Stephen A., and that's why I think the game can be close. I expect him to be featured. That's number one. Number two, motivation. You talk about Tom Brady, just hard to believe him losing. Okay, think about the motivation for each guy. Brady's motivation is just to win, as always. He's going to be back next year. His arm still looks like it has some juice. And his team looks poised to make another run.
Did you hear that, Molly?
Yeah, it does.
Did you hear that, Molly?
Yeah, his arm has some juice.
We bring up the clip or not like that, Max. You said his arm is live.
Yes.
You said that,
compared to Drew Brees, Tom Brady, even as his arm looked weaker to me in recent seasons, it still looked stronger than Drew Brees's. I'm not talking about accuracy. I mean, strength of arm. I don't think anyone would argue that, and I never did. But my point is this. He knows he's coming back. What's the motivation now? Well, people might say something like, I might say, Tom Brady lost a playoff game in his division, right? Suddenly, when you have to go up against another great quarterback, because Drew Brees is a great quarterback in the division, not like the AFC East for 20 years, no great quarterbacks ever. So occasionally a decent one, but it was the most atrocious 20-year period in the history of any division in the NFL for quarterback play. And so in that, under those circumstances, Brady always won the division. You win one home game, you go to the championship game. Now all of a sudden you have another great quarterback in your division. What happens? You lose three times, you go home. Yeah, that's some stuff people say. What about Drew Brees, Stephen A? Drew Brees is sitting there. We don't know Drew Brees is going to be back. Let's say Drew Brees ain't going to be back. This is it. This is his last shot on maybe his best team since he won the Super Bowl. Up against Tom Brady, Brees has more motivation.
I'm not questioning that. I'm just saying the rest of the team, when you stomped on somebody two times in a row, you know what? They're intending on being back. They're not retiring. The motivation that you're speaking to about Drew Brees, while very, very on point, is it doesn't speak for everybody else. That's number one. And number two, to get back to Drew Brees, no, Max, you never said that Tom Brady's arm was weaker than Drew Brees or anything like that. It's just that when you talked about a cliff, you always talked about Tom Brady. When you talked about an absence of velocity and arm strength, that's what you talked about with Tom Brady. You didn't bring those things up with Drew Brees. That just flew under your radar. You never mentioned it. Molly's a witness to this. You never mentioned Drew Brees. You never talked about him and what he was lacking.
What I mentioned was that Drew Brees still had his accuracy. And accuracy is what he hung his hat on. Mm. So Drew Brees was still closer to elite, closer to his old self, even without the arm strength, as Tom Brady, who seemed to lose some zip off his fastball. Yes, he could still throw it. You know, he still had his fastball, but he couldn't control it the same way. So that seems to me to be a mark of age. However, this year, with an embarrassment of riches at the receiver position,
what that got to do with his arm strength?
He has made very good use of it.
What that has to do with his arm strength? The embarrassment of riches don't have anything to do with his arm strength.
He has not been as good as he once was, but he's still been very good. I've given him that credit already. Don't act surprised.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day. The defending champion Chiefs face the Browns coming off their first playoff win in over 25 years. Odell Beckham Jr. says it won't be their only playoff win this season, tweeting, quote, "Don't be surprised this weekend when they win. Just throwing it out there now." On that note, we bring in Super Bowl champion Ryan Clark. RC, always good to see you. I will be with you shortly. Kansas City favored by 10, everybody. So, Stephen A., are the Browns more likely to get blown out or to keep it close?
To get blown out. Now, I'm not predicting it's going to be a blowout. I'm not predicting it's going to be a blowout, but I'm just saying when you're going to ask me, if I had to take my money, this is how I'm answering the question, Ryan. If I had to take my money and put it on the table and you only got two choices, all right, close game or a blowout, I'm going to say a blowout for this reason. I fully understand that the Browns running game, you move the chains, you keep the ball out of Patrick Mahomes' hands, you can make things happen because they're the top three rushing attack in the National Football League. I get that. My belief, Max, is this. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to remember how they gave up those leads. How they surrendered big leads early in the playoffs last year, and then they ended up having these heroic comebacks, dropping 41 straight points on the Houston Texans, coming back on the Tennessee Titans. That's what they're going to remember. What I'm saying is this year they ain't doing that. They're going to come out guns blazing. And what they're going to do is they're going to put Cleveland on their heels. And then Cleveland is going to have to either exercise patience or they're going to hit the panic button because this dude, Patrick Mahomes, is like coming out of the woodwork, wreaking havoc. And we already in the hole, so we're going to have to put it in Baker Mayfield's hands and throw the football. I think Kansas City is scoring a touchdown on their first two possessions. Their first two possessions, they score a touchdown. And all of a sudden, that's what it's going to turn into. Now, it could be a shootout like they had against the Baltimore Ravens in the regular season when they lost 47-42, if I remember correctly, something like that. Right? But I don't see that happening. I see, ultimately, Kansas City pulling away because Patrick Mahomes and those boys come out flinging it all over the place against a suspect defense in Cleveland, meaning a suspect secondary, because with Garrett and those boys going after the passer, I know that they can make life difficult. But I just see it being one of those things where potentially, you know, they can run away with it. If I had to pick between the two, I'm going to say it's Kansas City running away in the second half.
It's Kansas City close, much more likely. And by the way, you can score in 60 seconds and it can take the other team 6 minutes. But in the end, if you're both scoring touchdowns, what difference does it make, you know? And here's the thing. The Browns, first of all, Baker Mayfield's a capable thrower of the football. We've seen it. He has to be, like most quarterbacks, he has to be in the right situation. Mahomes doesn't have to be. That's why Mahomes is one of the most special quarterbacks who ever lived, if not the most special. But Baker's like most other guys. In the right situation, most other good quarterbacks, in the right situation, he can throw it, and he's shown it, and he can. And he can do it under pressure. Here's the other thing, though. Forget about style of play for a second. The Browns just put 48 up on the Steelers' defense. 48. And that they doubled their previous total against the Steelers from the very previous game because they played them in consecutive games, end of the regular season in the playoffs. They put up 24. And by the way, in recent games, they had a very tough and close loss to Baltimore, and they beat the Titans. Now, like, they have quality wins, and they're capable of putting up points when they need to, and they're capable of playing defense when they need to, and the style of play might bode well for them. But here's the other thing about the Chiefs. I put their schedule up in front of me. I can tell you off the top of my head, they blew out the Chargers and the Jets, right? November 1st, they blew out the Jets, and then their most recent game, they blew out the Chargers. Two teams who were so bad that they fired their coaches, right? Like, that's what happened. In between those two games, let me just tell you the scores of their games, okay? You tell me if you see a blowout coming. The Falcons by a field goal. The Saints by a field goal. The Dolphins by two field goals. The Broncos by two field goals. The Bucks by a field goal. The Raiders by 4 points. The Panthers by 2 points. They beat teams by under a touchdown. Every team except the Jets or the Chargers. You think they're going to blow out the Browns the way they're playing? They'll win. It's going to be tough.
See, man, this is the worst part about being a guest on this show, right? You get the rundown, you get your little email, you go do your research, and then Max and Stephen A get to go first. They take all the good stats, especially Max, because, you know, that's my analytics guy. That's my Warren Sharp guy. Right. You take all the analytics, you take all the stats, and then now I just got to come hit y'all with some plain old football knowledge. Because Max is right, Stephen A. When you look at the schedule, when you look at the team that scores the most points or the team that scored 44 times this year, it's not the Kansas City Chiefs. It's the Cleveland Browns. The quarterback with the most three touchdown quarters is not Patrick Mahomes. It's Baker Mayfield. Now, we very well could see what we saw when Oklahoma faced Texas Tech, when these two teams played each other, or when these two quarterbacks played each other, and they both just went crazy. But I don't expect a blowout. They haven't had a blowout in the last 8 weeks of the season, if you're the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, this is the team that, despite what we say, all the cliches, you can't just hit a light switch, you can't just turn it on. This team can. Why can the Kansas City Chiefs do that? Because of their quarterback. When their quarterback says it's time to play, it's time to win, usually it's time to play and it's time to win. But the Cleveland Browns are made in the way, at least offensively, that you have to be made to beat Patrick Mahomes. He has 9 losses in his career. In those losses, the team averages 35 carries, 160 rushing yards on the ground. What team is better situated to do that than the Cleveland Browns? Kareem Hunt, Nick Chubb, and they also now have a quarterback who, when called upon, when needed to make plays, when needed to carry the team, we've actually seen him do it. And so, do I think the Kansas City Chiefs are going to win? Hell yeah. I'm not going to sit up here and say the Cleveland Browns are going to win, but it's not out of the realm of possibility that this is a close game, that this game is tight going into the fourth quarter, that Patrick Mahomes may need some heroics in order to pull it out. The Cleveland Browns are a different football team. They aren't the same old Browns. I think Juju Smith-Schuster found that out. I think Chase Claypool seems to continue to feel that as he says stupid things day by day. The Cleveland Browns are different. The Cleveland Browns are going to come and fight. They love having their back against the wall. They love being faced with adversity. Mm-hmm. And this year, at least this year, they've been overcoming it.
Well, let me say this to you, Ryan Clark, a couple of things. Number one, I completely, wholeheartedly agree with you about Chase Claypool and what you said and how you clapped back at him. That was just a very ignorant statement. So the Browns spank you, and then you're going to sit up there and say, well, y'all are going to be home next week anyway. You're home now.
You're home already.
I mean, what the hell are you doing? So, I mean, I love Claypool, and I'm proud for him to be a Steeler. But, I mean, in terms of their mouth, Juju Smith-Schuster, who said that he ain't gonna retract anything that he said, and he had no regrets about what he said. Both wide receivers embarrassed themselves. Damn good players, bright future, happy there with the Steelers.
But if
I don't hear from them, if I don't hear them being interviewed by anybody for the next year, I'm cool with it. Because damn, I mean, just some of the ignorant. I mean, come on, you just can't do that. Having said all of that, Ryan Clark, here's what I would say to you about what you just highlighted about the Cleveland Browns. Number one, a little pressure's on right now, because even though one would argue that they're playing with house money because nobody's really thinking they got a chance against Kansas City, there are a lot of people like you who are saying they do, particularly because of their running game and the efficiency with which Baker Mayfield has played. And now that you've gotten that playoff win, and you've gotten your expectations up, who knows how they're going to respond to that. The other thing I would say to you, Ryan Clark, and last but not least is this before I hand it back to you and Max. Ryan Clark, I don't even know if you're supposed to be commenting about this. According to you, last Sunday, you didn't even want to show up to work. You tweeted to get up, you wouldn't be available. First take, you wouldn't be available. You were like, I'm taking time off, you know, due to the business beyond my control. I'm not showing up to work. So how you gonna sit up here, sticking out your chest, acting like, oh, Max, Mr. Warren Sharp and Stephen A, y'all took all the stats, y'all got it, so let me break down. So football, nothing. According to you, you didn't even want to show up to work to espouse your football knowledge because of how wrong you
were. That was Monday.
And that was, four days ago, okay? That's all I'm saying, it went four months ago. It's 4 days ago. I told you I'd be watching you now.
I definitely like baby Stephen A more than real Stephen A right now. Let's bring him back.
4 days is a long time. All right, guys. By the way, teams to beat the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes at the helm. Yeah, a lot can change in your mindset after four days. Take some time to marinate on things. I'm with you. But honestly, teams to beat the Chiefs when Mahomes has been there, they've had to rush for at least 160 yards. So we'll see if the Ravens can put up some yards on the ground. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Sure is. Let's go. Ryan Clark back here with us. Guys, Action Jackson got his first playoff win, and now he's going for number two up there in Buffalo facing Josh Allen. Max, I'll start with you. You think the reigning MVP is going to pull off the upset?
I do. I think the Ravens, I think Lamar Jackson leads the Ravens past a Bills team that everyone seems to think, and I might be one of them, that poses the biggest threat in terms of a matchup with the Chiefs. I think Lamar Jackson pulls the upset. Let me start by saying Josh Allen's improvement's been great. You know, every year he gets better. He's entering MVP levels. There's no question about it. Bills are really good. No knock against Josh Allen. This is about Lamar. See, everyone thought that there were a couple issues with Lamar. He couldn't beat good teams, it was said. If the defense knows how to play him, you can't beat him. And that's because he's a running quarterback. He's got to become a better pocket passer to win. Let me take those one at a time. Number one, Lamar Jackson never had a problem beating good teams. He beat a lot of good teams. He had a problem beating the teams he needed to beat. The Roethlisberger Steelers, he lost. The Chiefs, he lost three times in all three meetings. The playoffs, he'd lost twice. That's 0-6 in the games you have to win and almost undefeated in every other game. That's not a you can't beat good teams problem. That's a choking problem. Lamar Jackson had a choking problem, period. And by the way, I've said this about certain athletes. I take no pleasure in saying it. Paul George, James Harden, Clayton Kershaw. Clayton Kershaw finally won a World Series. I'm very happy for him. I hope Harden and Paul George, Harden's trending in the right direction that way. I hope Paul George gets over it too. But Lamar had it. He was starting to get that reputation and he was earning it. But he was trending in the right direction also, guys. The second half of his first playoff disaster was better than the first half. The second playoff game was better than the first playoff game. And in this playoff game, he got it done against a very good Tennessee team that had beaten him this year and beaten him last year in the playoffs to knock him out. So he can win when the lights shine brightest. Now, how did he win? Does he have to be a more of a pocket passer and everything? Just because no one who's played like Lamar Jackson has ever won a Super Bowl doesn't mean it can't be done. Because no one's had Lamar Jackson's level of talent and dedication with the defense that Lamar Jackson has. No, he can do it. He has to be big on third down. He has to make some key passes, and he's got to run that ball. And by the way, guys, Hollywood Brown's got to be Hollywood Brown, not West Covina Brown or whatever he's been. Yes, Lamar needs some help. He does need some help. But just because it hasn't been done before with a guy who plays like this doesn't mean it can't be. And I'm betting Lamar pulls off the upset.
Well, I appreciate that dissertation on what could happen before you finally told us what you believe will happen. Thank you for so much for eventually getting to that point. Of course, he can pull it off. He's Lamar Jackson.
Point?
My only point is that I'm just of the mindset, Max, that when I look at Lamar right now, particularly in the inclement weather that they're expecting to have in Buffalo, I'm expecting that to be a factor. If this game was in Baltimore, if it was under better, more ideal conditions, similar to what we saw last week in Tennessee, I would feel differently, to be quite honest with you, because I think that Baltimore Ravens defense is real. But I also think that the Buffalo Bills have been underrated in terms of the complete team they are and how exceptionally well coached they are by McDermott. We saw the progress. We've seen, rather, the progress that Josh Allen has made. Stephon Diggs, as Ryan Clark has come on this air and articulated, is one of the elite receivers in the National Football League. Six receptions for like 128 yards last week. You know every single week he's coming. And somehow, some way, he's showing you this is what life with me is like when Kirk Cousins is not the one throwing me the football and it's somebody else. And so when I look at it from that perspective, I'm just of the mindset in Buffalo, on their home turf, inclement weather, with not much of a passing game by Baltimore, it's going to have to be the wheels of Lamar Jackson to really, really pull it off, in my estimation, along with their defense. I believe in their defense. I believe in his wheels. But I believe against a team like Buffalo this particular season, I think it's going to take more than that to knock them off. And I don't know in those conditions whether or not that's going to happen. Straight up, I get where you're coming from, Max. But I think that I don't care if it's 1 inch, 2 inches. If the turf is slick, yeah, that could be a problem for defenders with somebody like Lamar Jackson running the football. But it'd also be a problem for him actually running the football, particularly when everybody knows he's going to run, because you're not worried too much about the worst passing attack in football really throwing bombs away at you. I think it's going to be tight, but I think as a result, if I had to sit up there and bet my money, I can't disrespect what I've been seeing from the Bills all year long.
Man, you can't disrespect it. I get it. But it's a famous movie line. Like, you keep talking about wheels. It's a famous movie line. My boy said, look at the wheels. And that's what you get.
Did he freeze?
Yeah, I think he froze up a bit.
Yeah, I think Brian froze.
See, that's what happens. That's what happens. That's what happens when you try to get hyperbolic.
He dropped the mic. He got the movie line in and he bounced.
Yeah, no, he didn't, Molly, because he didn't tell us what movie. He didn't tell us what movie.
He's right here to tell us.
There you go.
With his Raiders
color. Stealing with his Raiders colors on. Okay, go ahead.
Hey, by the way, it's Tigers in here.
Go ahead with your wheels.
We know that jacket. And here we go. He froze again because you're trying to show off that tiger jacket. All right, Max, you can make your point now. Go ahead.
Stephen A's got a little button there that keeps freezing Ryan Clark. Why don't you unfreeze him, Stephen A? Be real about this.
There we go.
Look, you make a legitimate point about slick conditions. That's a real thing. And it does hurt someone with wheels, right? Like, what's Lamar going to do, put on ice skates? Yeah, that's true. But in terms of how that affects things, I actually would put my money on the fastest land mammal this side of Tyreek Hill and Lamar Jackson over the defenders that are going to be, you know, on Buffalo, who got to try to chase him down. Also, Lamar, you're right about this, too. Lamar's going to have to complete key passes. The game doesn't have to be predicated on his precision passing, but he's going to have to come through in high leverage moments. And the question for me always was, Stephen A, that's the reason for my dissertation, as you referred to it in the beginning. The question for me always was not whether Lamar Jackson had the talent and skill to do it, whether he had the ability to do it under pressure. Could he come through in the clutch? He was a young player. He had to learn how to do it, but it appears to me he has. He can make big time completions with the money on the line, and my money is on him.
I hope you're right.
All right.
I'm rooting for him, but Buffalo is real, man. Buffalo's real.
Josh Allen. Josh
they both
Allen,
are,
that
guys.
Good.
Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen rank 1 and 2 in total QBR since week 13. That's including the playoffs, so they're both tops in the league in that stat.